Well, good morning. What a week or two we've had, huh? How many of you lost power? How many of you have it back? How many didn't appreciate it so much until it was gone? Yeah, I'm glad you're doing well. That ice storm was kind of crazy, right? And then we had power, and then we didn't have power, and then we didn't have power, and we thought we were having church, and then we said, gee whiz, okay, we got to go with plan B. We had all those things in the works. But can I just tell you something? I only get a glimpse of it because I'm not that smart. But our tech team, we had zero power downtown Adrian. And so for those of you that watched and worshiped with us in the live stream last week or during this week, that happened right here in this building with no power, a generator. A lot of things had to be disconnected to even hook up a generator, to get stuff to work, to do what they did. And it looked so good online compared to what it really looked like in here. But can you just join me in thanking them? Yeah. They didn't miss a beat. They're like, okay, we could do this. We could get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll stay up all night Saturday night and make that happen. I'm like, man, you guys are awesome. And, you know, I could say I'd do it, but even I, like, hey, I'll help. And they're like, no, thanks. We got it. You just do your thing tomorrow. We'll see you then. Okay. So anyway, but I'm going to tell you, we've been in this series called Mind My Own Business. This is week 9. I think when we started, people were like, how long is this going to be? And we said at least 7 weeks. And they're like, wow, you're going to talk about mental health for 7 weeks. And then you know what the number one thing we've heard now is it really like, isn't there, can you do more? Like, we got a bunch of messed up people. That's okay. Yeah. It's okay not to be okay. We just don't want you to stay not okay. And so I've shared a little bit of my journey on the way. We've talked, on your note sheets, we got the whole list because people are saying, hey, what week did you do that? So you can go back and catch up on anything that you might have missed or you want to watch again or you want to send to a friend or something to watch. But today we're going to kind of put an exclamation point on this whole series of Mind My Own Business. And I've got to be honest, this is one of my favorite weeks. And it may be one of your favorites as well by the time we're done today. Maybe because I'm not speaking that much today. But we're doing true crossroads stories today. We've got a couple of stories that have come through conversations during this series. And a couple of young ladies were willing to put their story on video and to kind of share them with you and to hopefully give you some hope, some encouragement. And these are people just like you, just like me. That have went through real life stuff and want to share their journey with you. And so I'm excited about that. The old adage is, I've heard this for years, that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And you know what? I think that goes perfectly with James. James chapter 1, verse 22, that talks about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. You know what, I tell people all the time, it's easier for me to talk the Christian life than it is to live it. And God says, listen, I know there's a tendency, you just hear stuff, you get inspired, you get challenged, whatever, and you walk away and you forget it. We need to do something with it. Well, both of these stories have some hearing and some doing in them. And so I'm excited for you and I to take those in together today. And here's what we're going to do. Let's just bow and let's just dedicate this whole day to the God that created all of us unique, that knows you better than you know yourself, that knows the truth about you and loves you in spite of that. That's what we all have in common. And he's a God of hope. He's a God of hope. God, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be together. God, I thank you for the privilege that we have to worship you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God, our minds are blown when we understand that the God that created everything around us loves us. You know the good, the bad, and the ugly about each one, and you love us. God, you know our story. You know the great things that we've done. You know the horrible things that we're ashamed of. You know where we're celebrating. You know where we're stuck. You know, God, where we've believed lies, and you know when we even lie to ourselves, and you love us. God, I pray for today that you'd be honored and glorified through the stories, through your word, through song, And God, I pray for every single person in this room. I pray for every single person tuning in from wherever they're tuned into today. That God, that you would meet us right where we're at. That you would let us know that there's hope, that it's okay to not be okay. But you love us so much, you don't want us to be stuck not being okay. We love you. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you have note sheets. You can kind of take your own notes today, right? I have no idea what God is going to do through today, but we're excited about it. And the first story you're going to hear and watch is a story from Tammy. Take a listen.
My name is Tammy. I started drinking when I was 15 years old. Continued on, and it wasn't bad. I mean, I wasn't out of control at that point. Continued drinking, though, and it's a progressive illness. And I know that now. Because I look back a lot on how I got here. Drank my teen years, had fun, partied, didn't get in trouble, did on the weekends casually, whatnot. Went to college, graduated college, was on the right path, doing good. And then 2 weeks after I graduated college, my brother tragically died, and it just derailed my life. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I don't even know how to explain it. Grief, if anybody's been in deep grief, it's unexplainable. It's awful. My drinking definitely took off pretty bad then. Got a DUI a few months after he passed. Heavy drinking through my 20s. Ended up getting married, 29 years old. My life kind of felt like it was smoothing out a little bit, you know. I worked through the grief. I saw a therapist. You know, I did everything I had to do to get through that. A couple years after I got married, my dad got sick, and I was pretty much the main caregiver for him. That was hard. I drank to kind of deal with that. And then he passed. I felt guilty for a lot of things, which I think that's when my anxiety really started. I was having a lot of guilt to the way I handled it, because I was very, very, very angry when he was sick. Boy, when I turned 40, between my anxiety and my depression, I no longer had control of my life. I was obsessing over getting a drink just to have relief from this depression. But all day at work, that's all I could think about. I cannot wait to get out of here. Couldn't wait to go to lunch to buy it, so it was ready when I got out. I would tell myself, just have two today. Just have two drinks today. There was not enough willpower in the world that could get me to stop drinking. I just couldn't stop. I wanted to stop. Yeah, so on August 9th, I checked myself into a rehab facility up in Gaylord. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. They strip search you. They go through your luggage. They take your phone. I mean, they just, everything. None of this I expected. I didn't know. I cried for the whole first week and a half of rehab. I just cried and I cried and I cried. Couldn't even talk. I was crying literally all day, every day. Time went on, and I started feeling a little more at ease, and everybody there was like I was. So I had a little bit of anxiety. The shame, the guilt was kind of like lifted a little bit. Every day at rehab, I did the work. I listened to every word every counselor was saying, and every other woman there was sharing, because they made you talk in group. I mean, you couldn't pass. You had to talk. But it helped. I would feel a little bit lighter after every group session. I would feel... You know, I'd cry when I was sharing these things that I had self-pity for. But after I shared them and heard other stories, I just felt lighter. And I would walk in between groups. That was big for me. And we had this giant parking lot in the middle of this facility. And I don't know how many miles I did, but the bottoms of my tennis shoes were completely flat. The rubber was completely flat. I just walked and I walked and I walked. And I would really reflect on everything I'd heard and what everybody was telling me. But I watched a movie, and it was called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. And it was based on a true story about an alcoholic who, his life, he was in a black hole, basically. And he did these 12 steps. And the way the movie portrayed it, I mean, the movie got brighter and brighter for me. It just really clicked with me. I'm like, okay. I'm not going to shut the 12 steps out. I might do it. You know, so I started doing the 12 steps. Step one, you know, was admitting I was powerless over alcohol. So step two was finding this higher power, is greater than myself. I couldn't stop the drinking. I couldn't do it on my own. There was no amount of willpower in the world that could do it. Step three was giving my life and my will over to the power of God. I've tried that in the past, but I wasn't willing to do it. I wasn't willing to do the work to do it. And this time I did it. Started coming here to Crossroads. Pastor Scott said, sick and tired of being sick and tired. Bam, you were talking right to me. I mean, you directly at me. It was kind of like I knew exactly what he was feeling. I remember instantly thinking, I've got to share with him where I just came from. That, hey, I just came out of being sick and tired and sick and tired, and I went and got help. And it was the best decision I ever made. I have given all these negative, these unrealistic fears that I had created over time, I'd given them away to God. And that's a freeing feeling. I have this foundation now of my higher power. I am second in everything. I am second in every decision I make, every choice I have, everything. I am second. So step four, you know, listing resentments that I have towards people starting from birth. I mean, this took me weeks. And then step five, you share it with another person, kind of get it out there. You share it. So that it's just been great so far. So today I sit here, I'm on step six. These character defects I have, you know, working on them, giving them to God. I'm not in this loop anymore where I'm not going anywhere. I'm moving. I would say anybody who is struggling today with that rumination, those negative thoughts that it, and you're trying to mask it in some way, you're trying to maybe drink it away or whatever it may be, you got to be willing to kind of put yourself out there, ask for help from other people, but you also have to be willing to give your will and your life over to God.
What a powerful story, huh? And obviously we have to edit those down. I wish you could, you know, we could be here for a day because Tammy had a lot to share. And you know what's interesting? You see someone's story like that and you hear the pain of where they were. But this lady just exudes freedom, doesn't she? Can't you just like, wow, 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 wow. Tammy, where are you at? Come on down, will you? I was going to tell you to give her a warm Crossroads welcome, but you guys, gee whiz, we don't have to script this, right? Oh, girl, good to see you. Here you go. Well, this is Tammy, and can I just tell you, because if you've been coming during this journey, you heard me share about October the 2nd in my story when I said I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I didn't know how long I was going to go away for, but I knew I was at a point where I had to get some help, and I had to get outside of myself and to realize there's people that care. There's people that are skilled that can help you on your journey. And it superseded at that point all my embarrassment and all the judgment that I thought, all the whispers that I had heard in my ears. And I know in listening to your story and talking to you that that was the same. But Tammy was here either for the first or second time that day. And when I was out and everybody kind of welcomed and hugged and told me they were praying for her, for me, Tammy was the one that said, I just came out of what you're going in, and I felt like I have to share that with you, that just go through this. You're making a great step. So I want to publicly thank you for being a part. Yeah, God used you that day amongst other people. God used you that day to kick me off on my journey towards some mental health. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And So, Tammy, I know you've shared all kinds of stuff on there, but here we are in front of all these people, what would you say to the person like you and like me that has tried to do it their way for so long, and they're worried about all the whispers, they're worried about what people are going to think, what that's going to say about them if they admit that they need help? What would you say?
My will versus thy will.
That's good.
My will didn't work. Our will doesn't work. Try. I would say just try. Like I do, one day at a time, I try to be good. I try to do the things that he wants me to do, not what I want to do. And it's hard sometimes. I want to do what I want to do. It's how we are. But just try. That's all I can say. Just try to do good.
Take that step, right?
Take that step, yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't do it yourself.
It's that freeing feeling. I wouldn't trade what I have now. This past 6-7 months of my life, I've never had this feeling. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It feels so good.
How much fear did you have to overcome to finally check yourself in?
A lot. I feared everything, everybody. But that fear, I remember driving up to that rehab facility that day and, you know, I was really sick. I was hungover. But that moment I walked in, that anxiety lifted a little, just getting that help, because I only had two options at that point. You know, there was death and destruction, jail, whatever it may be, or asking for help. And when I asked for help, it was good. It's the way to go. Ask for help.
Absolutely. So thanks for being not just a hearer, but a doer. And thanks for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the encouragement that you gave me. I'll never forget standing out back and you coming. I had never met you before.
And I want to thank you for doing this on mental illness. I mean, wow. Yeah, God put me here at the right time, in the right moment.
Yeah.
He's
not done with you. We're not done with you.
I hope not.
So it's glad to have you be a part. Give her a warm hug. Thanks so much. Thank you so, so much. Whew. You can't make this stuff up. Can't make it up. You know, one of the things that God tells us, right, that we've covered in this series is that sometimes the things that you fear the most, the pain that's in your life, God doesn't waste a hurt. And it's horrible what she went through. It's horrible in many ways what I went through, but God wants to use maybe the most painful season of your life as you take a step of faith and get the help that you need. It could be on the backside of that that God uses your pain and your story to encourage and to help and to give hope to somebody else. And you just saw it there. That's one story. Well, I want to share another story that we captured that is kind of in a different place, right? We're all in a different place. Some of the struggles that we have mental health-wise, some of the struggles that we have with stress, with worry, with depression, with feeling stuck. And if you tuned into the panel last week, we identified a lot of people are just stuck. They've been stuck for a long, long time. And on the backside, you'd be like, why didn't they just do something? Like, why don't you just go get help? Then you look at yourself and you're like, why don't I go get help? Right? God is faithful when we take steps. So I want you to take a listen and watch another true crossroads story from Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie. I've been coming to Crossroads since 2019. I had a home church. I've grown up in the church. I'm a preacher's kid. And one day I decided that God needed me to do something new. And I prayed about it and drove past the high school and was planning on skipping church that day, and somebody waved me in and I stopped. And that's truly how I started coming to Crossroads. So, you know, those greeters, you guys are very important. I'm a licensed funeral director. I walked away from it this past year, at the beginning of this school year in 2022. Everything else but God was controlling my life. I had horrible anxiety that I hid from absolutely everybody. It turned into what I consider depression. I'm divorced. I am a single mother, although I share custody with my son's father, so 50% of the time. So 100% of the time I was a mother, 50% of the time I worked nonstop, and the other 50% of the time I concentrated on what needed to happen with my son and was doing absolutely nothing for myself and absolutely nothing for my spirituality, nothing for my soul. I prayed to get through the hard times, not realizing that I was going through the worst time in my life. Where are you in life? What do you do for yourself? Nothing. I work. And yet I pretended to be happy because you know what? I thought I was happy. That was a thing. I loved my job. I loved the people I worked with. I loved the people that I served. I loved the funeral home that I worked at. But I felt empty. Then I got anxious and the anxiety built. And I looked at my son as he was growing up and I was missing so much. And then I would cry out, God, what do you want from me? And you know what? He'd give me an answer and I would turn and not answer it because I couldn't control it. I'm tired. I'm going to skip church this week. I would walk away and go do things with my son and think about my job the whole time. It got to the point that I couldn't control it anymore and I knew that I needed a change. And so I started looking for new employment. And then it was denial after denial after denial. And so then that starts to bleed in. I'm not good enough. I'm stuck. You're not a good mom. You're not a good funeral director. You're not a good person. I decided to get off the roller coaster for a minute and actually come back to church. If you challenge God at something, if you ask for it, He absolutely will push you to the edge of yourself. And I was hit with something that day. You need to focus on your son. You need to focus on yourself. But more importantly, you need to focus on me. I walked out of here that day and ran into a friend of mine who, it was a God thing. That's all I can say. What's wrong with you? That was the first thing he said. I hadn't seen him in years. Nothing, I'm fine. No, don't lie, you're not. I can see it, I see it right through you. Okay? We're gonna go over here and we're gonna pray. Are you kidding me, in public? We're gonna go pray. We're gonna go pray, because you need a change. Okay, let's go pray. And he called some other people over. I have no idea who these people are, but they laid hands upon me and they prayed for me in public with everybody looking at me. And from that moment on, it just changed. The hopelessness, that feeling went away. And eventually, the position that I have now, I am now an administrative assistant at an elementary school, which allows me to be a full-time mom all the time with him, watching him grow. That day that I prayed that to push me to the edge of myself, to meet him or run into him, to meet these people, when they all say that they know him, God had that in his plan for me. Once I prayed that prayer to take to the edge of myself, the control changed, the anxiety changed, the depression changed, and I got off that roller coaster. I am so happy with where I am. My relationships are better. My relationship with my son is so much stronger because I'm there. I'm a mom all the time. My relationship with my ex-husband is stronger because I'm not arguing about time off with him anymore. Everything has changed once I realized who's in control. He smacked me in the face. You know, remember that God's always there. And it doesn't matter what you've done, how far away you've run, how many times you've turned your back. He's always there.
Wow. She needs to be my editor because she says so much in a little bit of time. That's not my gift. Julie, where are you at? Oh, there's Julie. Come on up, Julie. You're going to get me emotional just you being. It's been 3 or 4 weeks since we shot that. Mm-hmm. And that still brings. Yeah, these stories. We've got a lot in common. I've got a background with some funeral work, not as a professional like she did. I mean, she was licensed and credentialed and walked away. And I know it wasn't an easy decision for you.
No.
And let me give you a little bit more of that story. It was during this series, I don't remember week one or week two. Mm-hmm. And I was standing out like I normally do afterwards, and it had been a couple weeks since I had seen Julie, and I'm like, Where you been? Not in a judgmental way. In a caring way. And then I don't remember exactly what the comments were back and forth. And you said, but I got a new job. And I was like, wow, it shocked me because she was so good at what she did. A professional, you may recognize her now that she's up here from one of the local funeral homes. But I said, why? And I'll never forget what she did. She didn't say a word. She just turned to her son and said, that's why. Of course, me being me, I'm like, there's more to this story. So we chatted later that week, and I said, there's a story there. Would you be willing to share? I don't even know what it is, but I know a lot of people need to hear it that are stuck and wondering what to do. Tell me a little bit of the voices that you heard when you thought, holy cow, I've went to school for this. I've trained for this. I'm good at this. I love where I work. They love me. You served so many families. But what voices would you hear when you even considered the fact that you're going to walk away from a career to do something else with no crystal ball, how it's going to turn out? But you were so, my words, stuck that you, the roller coaster. That you knew, I've got to take a leap of faith, even though I don't know the result, because this isn't okay. What kind of things went through your head?
First was doubt, but I realized that was not God's voice. I've always known, but it's funny how you take a step back and you convince yourself, or the enemy convinces you that you don't need that. You're not going to do this. Just forget about it. You're stuck. And I think it's interesting that Tammy called it a loop and I called it a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So, she, you know, her experience, my experience are completely different, but it's that same feeling. And roller coasters, I think I remember when I did that, I said, you know, people describe life as like a carousel and it goes like this and it goes up and down. And I said, but life is really like a roller coaster because there are times when it's great and then there are times that it's awful and there's times that you want to throw up. And, you know, you'd come through the gate and it stops and I'm like, I'm gonna get off. Here we go. And then it would just go again. I had a friend tell me that I was really determined in life. I am. Determination is a good thing if you're determined, but my determination turned into stubbornness. And then my stubbornness turned into independence. And by that, I mean independence from everyone, including God. And it was at that moment when I felt alone and I knew that I wasn't
alone. And I would go to work and I would stand there and I would just look at it and be like, you love this. I'm convincing myself that I love this. And I did. And I still do. But that voice of, you're never going to leave here, it's doubt, was in the back of my mind. So when I finally, like you said, I gave up, I surrendered. Okay, God, you've been giving me the answers and I'm not listening. I'm not hearing what you're saying to me. I need to take in everything that you say to me. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I have greater plans for you if you just listen. Get off your roller coaster. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You can't control this. I am in control. Get off your roller coaster. I will give you the strength to do it. Just get off. I just had to remember that. The most humbling experience in all of this that I remember, and I didn't mention it that day because I thought about it after the fact. I felt like I wasn't being a mother, and whether you dedicate your children or baptize them in the church, you're making a commitment to God to bring them into this place to raise them. I made that commitment when my son was a baby, and I wasn't bringing him to church, to any church, because why? I'm independent. I need to sleep. I'm tired. My son walked in my bedroom and said, Mom, will you take me to church? Woo. Okay. Yep. We'll go. We're going to go. He wanted to be here in this community. You talked about community a few weeks ago. I wasn't in this community. I wasn't in any community. You know, I attend other churches. I've gone other places. I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, well, he's not going to know that I'm not in church because I go to the other church. And that minister over there isn't going to know that I'm not coming to church because he probably thinks I'm at that church. But I went to Mass last Saturday with my friends that are Catholic, so they're not going to know that I wasn't at Mass. So we're covered. No. This church, any church, your sense of community, need to lean on each other. You need to pray for each other. We need to be one as Christians. If you step away from that, you do become isolated, and that's when the enemy starts to give you that sense of fear. You're stuck. Get on your roller coaster and have a good time.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. That is great. Wow, 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 wow. You know what I know? Every set of eyeballs you and I look at and lock eyes with, there's a name that goes with that face, and there's a story that goes with that face. These are just two stories. But you know what I know about you? You can relate at some level. Those of you that have been stuck for a long time, I hope that you realize how stuck maybe you are and that there's hope. What they both have in common, they didn't do it themselves. They both trusted others. They both got involved in community. They both heard, but then finally did something about it. And when they took a step in faith, neither one of those had a crystal ball. When I walked away on October 2nd, I did not know how this was all going to go for me. Every one of us that is stuck, we don't know if we raise our hand and surrender or say, I need help outside of me, what the end story is going to be. But here's what I'll tell you. And we've seen it in these stories. If you will take a step, even though you're afraid, if you'll take a faith step based on God's word and trust and hope, He will show that He's faithful. Our God is faithful. He's for you. He's not against you. He's a God of love, a God of hope. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Take a step of faith. Surrender. Say, I need help. God will show himself faithful. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. God, that we can't go anywhere where you don't know where we're at. We can't do anything where you won't love us. God, you're for us. God, we hear a lot of messages. We put a lot of messages in our own in thoughts in our own head. We're lied to by our enemy. We lie to ourselves. God, we believe things about us that don't match up with what you say about us, which is why, God, it's so important that we make your word a priority, that we put you first in our day, first in our week, that we do things your way, not our ways, because yours work, ours don't. I pray, God, that you would encourage people not to just be hearers today, but to walk out of here determined to take a step of faith and to do something to get unstuck. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I tell you, it's your greatest opportunity. The greatest decision by far you'll ever make is to surrender. You can't get to heaven on your own, no matter how hard you try. God's word makes that real clear. He who is perfect, there's only one. His name is Jesus. He lived, he died, he was crucified on a cross. He suffered to pay for your sins so you won't have to. And if you'll provide the sinner, which you are, and turn from doing life your way, and in faith turn to him as your only hope, ask him to be your Savior and Lord. He'll come into your heart. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a brand new life that'll never, ever change. You get a gift of eternal life for eternity. If that's you, whether you're watching online, whether you're in this room, make this your prayer. Say, God, I surrender. My way doesn't work. God, I admit I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin. And in faith, I turn to you. Come into my heart, Jesus. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me as you said you would. Adopt me into your family. Give me the free gift that cost your life. I receive it. And I say thanks. And from this day forward, I want to learn to love you like you love me. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.